After 17 long, fruitless years, the Vancouver Canucks are back in the Stanley Cup Final. They've got a chance to finally get off the schneid and bring home that first championship in team history. People in Vancouver, they're pretty excited about this. We're going to talk about that today. We might also get into the fact that the Boston Bruins have not won a cup for almost as long, since 1972, that Boston has been able to celebrate a Stanley Cup. That's when Bobby Orr and Jerry Cheevers were playing. It's a long time ago. So we've got two teams that are both looking for their first cup in a long, long time.
I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head.
Well, at this time last year, Pucked in the Head was sitting in pretty much exactly the same position, but with a very different feeling about us. We were talking about how the Stanley Cup Final was going to play out. We were talking about two very good teams, one from the East, one from the West, Chicago and Philadelphia. But you know what? We just didn't have much emotion to carry into it. This time, it's different.
Is depression an emotion?
A very good point, which we can talk about. Today we're here to talk about the Stanley Cup Final, which our beloved Vancouver Canucks are in!
First time in 17 years.
17 years! Chris, where were you 17 years ago?
Elementary school. That's right, Jason.
You are so young.
1994, I believe I was just out of Maple Lane Elementary School in Richmond. On my way to high school.
I was hoping to get more of an idea of where you were hockey-wise, actually.
I was no more than a casual Canucks fan.
Mm-hmm.
I had the usual Canucks gear that most families would buy for a child in a hockey city.
Right.
I, to be quite honest, have no memory of that series that I haven't obtained from watching videos later.
Right. Because you were, what, 12 years old?
I was 12 years old.
You're 12 years old. So you were more concerned with what at that point?
Good Lord, I don't know. Probably the Power Rangers or some such ridiculousness.
All right. I was a fanatic hockey fan by that time. And I did understand what was going on.
By the time you were 19?
By the time...
Sorry. Or by the time you were 12? By the, you mean
no, 1994? No, by 1994. Yeah. I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And I was a huge hockey fan. Trevor Linden was then and still is my favorite player, but I was electrified by everything Pavel Bure did on the ice. And what a wonderful series against Calgary. Great playoff. Everyone in Vancouver loved that we knocked off the Leafs, especially in five games. Mm-hmm. And we just had an amazing, amazing time. We didn't expect to beat the Rangers. That we went to a seventh game. That's when most of us actually believed that we might be able to win this thing.
Yeah.
And Trevor Linden scoring two goals on cracked ribs in that final game. When Nathan Lafayette hit that post late in the third period, oh man, the entire province groaned, screamed, collapsed in agony. It was a very emotional time for the whole province. This is the first time the Canucks have gotten to the final where we are the overwhelming favorite to win it.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. I've not heard a single pundit say that Boston's going to win this cup. Friday morning, the day before the Game 7, they had a media guy from Tampa and a media guy from Boston on the morning show on CBC Radio. And they talked to both of them. Both of them said that their team had the facility to win Game 7 of that final. The Tampa guy was confident that they could beat the Canucks. The Boston guy said, "I believe we can win tonight. But I don't think we have a shot against Vancouver."
Hmm.
Even the Boston media is resigned to the fact that they're going to be runners-up this year.
Now, there is one pundit who disagrees.
And who is that?
That's Don Cherry.
Does Don Cherry really call the Bruins to win?
He said on Coach's Corner after the game that he would not bet the farm on Boston, but that he would stick by them and thought they'd win. So not confident, but he is calling the Bruins.
Okay. Well,
now
before we get into
senile.
He is old and senile, but he's a hockey guy. He called Nathan Horton scoring the winning goal against the Habs. He called Vancouver winning game five against the Sharks, and he called them winning it 3-2. Mm-hmm. He didn't call it as Bieksa assisted by the stanchion, but he did call a Canucks win 3-2. I mean, this guy knows the game. Before we get into our thoughts about the final, is there anything you'd like to say about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yes, I'm glad we're not playing you.
I think they had a much better shot of beating the Canucks than the Bruins do.
Yes, I was ups and downs to both teams. I would have been far less concerned about Dwayne Roloson than I am about Tim Thomas, who has a phenomenal lifetime record against the Canucks.
To be fair, he's played the Canucks once a year.
That's true. And he's only allowed one goal in his career. You know, he's 3-0 with a 0.33 goals against average. That's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal, but how many times has he played us?
Yeah, well, he's about to...
he's about to double that.
At least double that, yeah. Tampa Bay worried me because they reminded me very much of Chicago last year. They weren't anywhere near the same class, I don't think. But the structure of their team is very similar. They have three young stars. Well, I guess Le Cavalier and St. Louis aren't young anymore, are they? But
no,
they have three very explosive, dynamic offensive players.
They're three of the best pure scorers on the planet.
Three players who are capable of individually taking over a game.
And St. Louis certainly did that a couple of times this postseason. Yeah. He willed the Lightning to win a couple of those games when they didn't deserve to win.
Yeah. Now, they don't have the defensive strength of either Vancouver or Chicago.
Apologies to Matthias Olund.
Yeah. Hedman's great. He's going to be a good defenseman in this league for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's very young. He's going to make mistakes.
As is Alex Edler, which we've seen a few times.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm ultimately glad that we're not playing Tampa Bay.
Okay. I would agree with some of that, although as much as I love the Bruins growing up and memories, I still, as you saw in my office today, I've got two separate signed Jerry Cheevers 8x10s on my wall. I was a huge Bruins fan growing up. I loved the Canucks in the regular season, but when I was in my formative years, they stunk every year, so I needed a playoff team. The Bruins were the playoff team,
right?
And I did grow up loving these guys. Ray Bourque is still my all-time favorite player, individual player. But I would have rather seen Tampa Bay in the final because, oh my God, would that have been an up and down, north, south, end to end skating series. That would have been a phenomenal, potentially 7 games of hockey.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Because Guy Boucher is renowned for his 1-3-1 defensive system. I don't know how north-south it would have been.
I have a strong feeling that the Canucks would have cracked that system with some of their set plays that they use,
mm-hmm.
effectively get them past that 1-3-1. They're not always carrying the puck over the center line. The Bruins have a static offensive attack. They almost never change it. All of the guys on between the periods all said the same thing. The Bruins need some creativity. Their attack is always exactly the same. Just try to bowl over the guys as they go in. They dump it in the same way every time. The Canucks have much more creativity, and I think they would have gotten through that. And the same thing with Washington. Washington is not a flexible team. Washington, last year, their whole idea was to outscore their woes. This year, they took a more defensive approach with an occasional foray forward. But they're not a really creative team. The Canucks are always surprising people.
Yeah.
The times that they lose are when they stop that. But when they're creative, man, I don't think there's a team in the league that can really stop them over a 7-game series. But I think Tampa would have been a good, fast, skating game.
Hmm. It's spilled milk at this point because...
it's the Bruins.
We've got the Bruins. Before we move on to predictions, though, I think we need to take a few moments to give kudos to the San Jose Sharks.
San Jose played through so many injuries, and I mentioned this in our 7 Things blog on the puckedinthehead.com website. okay, wham. They were playing with injuries. We saw the same thing in Philadelphia. 2 days after they were eliminated, there's a list as long as your arm, your injured arm, in the paper of all the players that were going to need off-season surgery and rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Wham. Joe Thornton played with a severed finger.
Yeah.
Part of his body broke off and was floating inside the encasement of his skin. Severed.
I didn't know that could happen.
Severed finger.
It's an injury that I didn't actually think was possible.
I didn't think so either. Part of his finger was merely floating in a sack of skin at the tip of his finger. That I can't even imagine that. The only thing that I've got to say about it, though, is that the thing that sucks the most for Joe Thornton is he still feels the sting of playoff loss where the tip of his finger used to be. And I'm sorry, Joe. I loved you when you played for Team Canada, but I hope your finger heals up well enough that you can go golfing sometime this summer.
It's still unbelievable to me that he was the third star of that Game 5. With a separated shoulder.
Yeah, separated shoulder.
A severed pinky finger and a wrist injury that was caused because he played through that severed finger and had to adjust his grip.
And the guy had a game-high 7 shots. He had some excellent scoring chances early in the game that Luongo just stoned him. They played really well. Vancouver's just a better team.
Aside from that Game 3, it was Game 2 when we ran the Sharks out of the building.
Hmm.
That was one of the closer 5-game series you're ever likely to see.
And you know what? That was the closest 7-2 game I've ever seen, or 7-3 game I've ever seen.
Yeah, because it was what, 3-2 going into the third?
It was tight until Ben Eager blew
a gasket. Ben Eager.
Yeah, and that game was not a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. After 40 minutes, the Canucks were the better team, but they only had a 3-2 lead.
Yeah.
This is probably what is going to run them into trouble against Boston, is they don't have enough of a killer instinct to open up a big lead. And if Boston hangs around, they're able to get that last gritty goal. They're able to do that. So, I mean, the Canucks need to open up 2 and 3 goal leads to be safe in the series. But I do think that they're gonna pull it out quickly. So, should we get into this final series?
I think we should.
All right, so here we go. Vancouver Canucks, Boston Bruins, 2011 Stanley Cup finalists. This is very exciting for me. These were my two teams growing up. We've got Zdeno Chara, 6'9", before he puts on his skates, versus Henrik Sedin and Daniel Sedin, freakish-looking, insanely talented twins. It's like Godzilla versus two Mothras, twin Mothras, in the middle of Tokyo, duking it out. Who's going to win?
Was there ever a twin Mothra Godzilla movie?
No! We're seeing it for the first time right now. And trust me, this very evening, I'm going to be in Photoshop madly trying to make that happen.
Oh my goodness. Two Mothras beats one Godzilla.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah. I think while Godzilla is trying to pin one Mothra against the boards, the other one is going to be fishing the puck loose, and there's not going to be a damn thing Godzilla can do about it.
Actually, I have to admit, in none of the Godzilla movies did you ever see Johnny Boychuk come out of the corner and take care of a couple of the army guys. So, I just don't think Johnny Boychuk is enough. And Thomas Kaberle, this is a team that's only scored 5 power play goals in 18 playoff games. The Phoenix Coyotes scored 6 power play goals, and they got swept in the first round by Detroit.
Yeah. It's baffling to me how Boston is here. And that kind of gives me pause, because they've managed to beat a couple of good teams. You know, Montreal wasn't anything special, but they were a decent team.
They were a good team, and it's the first time in NHL history that a team has advanced through a round of the playoffs going 0-for in the power play.
Yeah.
They were 0% after the first round, and they were the winning team in a 7-game series. That had never happened before. Can I give you another never happened before? Nathan Horton is the first player in NHL history to score two Game 7 winning goals, series winning goals, in the same playoff.
Interesting.
Because he scored the Game 7 overtime winner against Montreal. He scored the 1-0 goal against Tampa Bay the other night.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
Nathan Horton goes down in the history books.
Interestingly, it was also another first in a long time anyways. I think it was 21 years was the last time that there were no penalties called in a playoff game.
21 years. Yeah. And you know what? To answer your question, that's how Boston is here. Because if the referees had called even one penalty against Boston during that game, Tampa probably would have found a way to score. Tampa, in the last few games, their power play was deadly against the Bruins. Yeah.
Let me just run this past you and see if it worries you, because I know there are a few people out there who have looked at some of the parallels between this Canucks playoff run and the last deep run that we were on and expressed a bit of concern.
Okay.
1994, we played a 7-game first-round series against a hated rival. In the third round of that year...
That was the Calgary Flames.
That was the Calgary Flames.
When we came back from a 3-1 deficit, yeah. Pavel Bure scored a spectacular
goal. I'm not saying it was exactly the same. I'm saying there were some parallels.
Okay.
We get to the third round.
Yes.
We win a 5-game series.
Mm-hmm.
With the fifth game, on exactly the same day, going into double overtime before Greg Adams / Kevin Bieksa wins the series.
Right.
And wait exactly 3 days before our original 6 Stanley Cup rival pulls out their 1-goal Game 7 win against their conference final opponent.
Right.
Very interesting parallels.
Okay. Zdeno Chara, Mark Messier. I'm not seeing a parallel there. Honestly.
You don't think Chara's a good leader?
I'm saying that I don't think that Zdeno Chara is the kind of player that can inspire a team just by staring at the guys in the room. Mark Messier scared the bejesus out of people, not because he was the biggest guy on the team. He scared the bejesus out of people because he had the will to do what other people would not do. Zdeno Chara took 2 games off after one of his slap shots hurt an opponent because he felt bad. Now, that's not the official story. The official story is that he had some sort of flu bug or something like that. But a lot of people believe that he took that game off or those 2 games off because he felt badly that his massive slap shot injured an opponent.
Hmm.
And put that plus what happened to Max Pacioretty earlier in the season. And he just felt bad. He was worried about hurting people. Mark Messier didn't give a crap about hurting people. He knew Trevor Linden had cracked ribs.
Yeah.
And he brutally cross-checked Linden from behind in, I can't remember if it was Game 6 or Game 7.
I think it was 6.
Game 6 at the end of the game when the Canucks were winning. He just went over, Linden was down for a moment, brutally cross-checked him and made the ribs worse.
Mm-hmm.
Messier did not care. Maybe he cared after the series was over, but in the course of the game, he did what it took to win. I don't see that from Zdeno Chara.
I generally don't have a lot of superstitions, but I understand why Canucks fans could feel a little bit edgy about just the timeline and just the parallels to how we won that San Jose series.
Handily? You mean that we won handily?
Do you not think that there's a little bit of overconfidence going on?
From the Canucks, I don't believe so.
No, not from the Canucks. From the Canucks fans.
From Canuck fans. Well, I've said this before. I do think there are a lot of people who are Canucks fans who are not knowledgeable hockey fans. I think that the Canuck fans who genuinely know the game, and there are many of us, I think that they know Boston could put up a fight. And that there's a legitimate shot this might go the distance. That the Canucks cannot rest easy. But here's the thing. Canucks fans who just think, we're in it, we're going to win, yay! Those are the same people who just like the Olympics because it was a big party.
Hmm.
Right? These are the people who blindly think Canada's going to win every medal at those Olympics. Or they blindly think America is going to win all of the medals just because they're my team. They're my country. I think people who genuinely know the game are predicting a Canuck win but they know that the Bruins, especially with Tim Thomas back there, they have the chance of stealing at least a few games, possibly the cup. That said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Canucks sweep. It would not surprise me.
No. I will not be predicting a Canucks sweep.
I'm not either.
I
actually think they're going to win it in six.
I hesitate to make a prediction at all, just because, as I've mentioned on this podcast before, I'm still waiting for a shoe to drop.
You don't think that Manny Malhotra being devastatingly injured late in the season is a shoe to drop? You don't think that going up 3-0 to Chicago and needing seven games and overtime to win is something going against us? You don't feel like having a couple of calls go against us and a bunch of goals going past Luongo from behind the net in this playoff? You don't think those things are enough bounces against us and the Canucks have overcome those things to make the final? What shoe are you expecting to draw?
I don't know. A team bust, a crash?
The rapture?
The rapture. let me put it this way. If I am the furthest thing from a religious person that I can envision, and if the rapture had happened on May 21st, I would have said, oh, yeah, well, the Canucks were going to win the cup. It's no wonder. It wouldn't surprise me if something terrible happened to prevent the cup.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that if an almighty being rained fire down upon the earth,
I would think it had to do with the Canucks.
Pulled a chosen few up into his heaven to bask in his love and basically crucified and melted all of the rest of humanity, you would believe that that was somehow related to the Canucks being poised to win a championship.
I don't think that that view would be any more ridiculous than believing that the rapture is about to happen anyways.
All right. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Make a prediction, you idiot.
You said Canucks in six?
I'm going to say Canucks in six simply because I think Tim Thomas showed us he has the ability to steal games. Especially games in Boston. He guaranteed a Bruin win. The Lightning should have won that game. His save on Downey with reaching the stick back and batting the puck away from the near post is one of the most spectacular saves I've ever seen, even put beside Kirk McLean making the save in seventh game of overtime on Robert Reichel.
After all I just said, I am going to go and predict a more decisive Canucks victory. I think it's Canucks in five.
All right, there we go. So we both think the Canucks are going to take it. How do you feel about that? We're going in as the favorite into the Stanley Cup final, man.
I don't feel anything about it right now.
I'm excited.
It hasn't honestly sunk in for me.
I'm so excited, man. You have no idea.
If we get up 2-0 in this series, then maybe I'll start thinking, holy shit, we're going to win this series.
This is what I said earlier. In 94, we started to have that feeling around Game 7. When we won Game 6 to go back to Madison Square Garden,
yeah,
a bunch of us thought, hey, you know what? We could actually win this.
Yeah.
I have felt that way since we beat Chicago in the first round. And it's like, oh yeah. And you might remember, I even called them to do this at the beginning of the season in October. And I felt this way for a long time. And this is the first time that I can remember a Canuck team being realistically confident. Not overconfident, not I'm a fan of the team confident, but legitimately, knowledgeably confident that the Canucks have a shot. Mike Gillis has put together an amazing team. On the other side, I got a feel for Steve Yzerman. He did an amazing job in Tampa. But Boston has cobbled together a pretty good team. Just not as solid as Vancouver.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've been trained to see the Canucks as underdogs. I will believe that they are Stanley Cup champions when I see Gary Bettman out there with Henrik Sedin.
One last thing we should talk about.
Yeah.
Manny Malhotra, as we mentioned, devastating eye injury.
Apparently
he
not.
He was recently cleared for light contact in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Canucks would chance playing him in the final?
Yes. Is there more to your question?
One ill-timed hit ends his career at this point.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think you clear a hockey player for contact if there is any chance that contact damages him.
So do you think we see him in the final?
Yes.
I just like hearing someone say it. I think it's awesome. The only thing I have to say is if Manny plays, for the love of all that is holy, do not let Zdeno Chara hit Manny Malhotra with Zdeno Chara's body.
I don't think it matters. I don't honestly think that the Canucks would allow any on-ice contact
if he wasn't
ready for it.
I mean, at this point, I don't know if it's just a morale boost or if he's got a legitimate shot at playing, but I really do think that it's an amazing story either way. And I would love to see Henrik hand the cup to Manny. That's what I think is going to happen.
I don't.
No? Who's he going to hand it to?
I think it goes to Daniel.
Yeah, that's possible. And then to Manny, maybe.
And then to Manny.
Maybe.
In the Chicago series in Game 3, I was at a bar, and a number of patrons started singing Hey Hey Goodbye when it became obvious that the Vancouver Canucks were going to win. And I almost threw a beer mug, because that's one of the superstitions that I have. I don't think you should be taunting a team in that particular manner until it's over.
But how is guessing who would hand the cup to whom taunting the other team?
I think it's getting ahead of ourselves.
Do you think that you and me talking on some obscure hockey podcast is going to be bulletin board material for David Krejci and Milan Lucic?
Well, look at what ended up as bulletin board material in the Canucks series. It was some rag from some obscure Chicago suburb.
That was actually a daily newspaper that goes out to hundreds of thousands of homes.
No, hundreds of homes, maybe.
Was that the boo-hoo? The Canucks are running home, like, crying like little girls?
Yeah.
I thought that was actually in a bigger paper than
I
that.
I don't think so. It wasn't a Chicago paper. It was some suburb.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you and I are bulletin board material in the Boston Bruins dressing room...
Then high five.
All right. First of all, pucked in the head is hitting the big time. But second of all, it means that the Boston Bruins are clutching at straws. Because every single media outlet and every single blogger out there who knows anything about the game is saying similar things. Vancouver, Boston, it's coming up. Thanks, Chris.
All right, take care.
See you soon. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon.
construction crane and I'm tearing. I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stomach and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing, my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now and once it seems so strange. Time for
graduate from high school?
1999.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You're so young.
I am very young. I am able to sit here today and consume a Goo Goo Supreme.
A Goo Goo Supreme.
Which is a overwhelmingly sugary treat. A local product out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Right.
Which our good friends at Preds on the Glass have graciously sent us.
That's right. This morning we picked up a care package from the post office full of collard greens and white hominy. There was pickled okra in there. Goo goo.
Goo goo supreme.
Goo goo supreme.
It's like getting punched in the mouth with sugar.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm saving mine for after the podcast. You, however, are speaking on the microphone with your mouth full of goop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Goo Goo Supreme.
Goo Goo Supreme.
But we're not here to talk about that today. We're actually gonna break down that care package later. Thank you, Preds on the Glass, for your lovely care package. Yours is, as they say, in the mail.